This is David Rovics, and you are tuned to 3CR, 8:55 a.m., Melbourne, Australia. Step three is finding there's a tactic when everyone believes it could be true. That if all the people work collectively, there just might be something we can do, and everything can change.
Welcome to the Climate Action Radio Show, which can be heard on community radio at 3CR in Melbourne and Skid Row in Sydney. Langford, and salut Babette.
You are listening to the Climate Action Show on the Community Broadcast Network. We acknowledge and pay respect to the people of the Woiwurrung and Boorowong language groups of the Eastern Kulin Nations on whose unceded lands the 3CR studios stand, from which this program is currently being broadcasted in, and we respectfully acknowledge their ancestors and elders past, present and emerging. We also acknowledge the traditional custodians and the ancestors of the lands and waters across Australia where our broadcast reaches, and acknowledge sovereignty has never been ceded. Hi everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into the Climate Action Show this Monday night on the Community Broadcast Network, either through 3CR or Skid Row, as you might have heard Vivian just mention. My name is Bella and I'll be hosting tonight's show. So, in the wake of proposed anti-protest laws, the Melbourne City Council looking into introducing new framework to limit so-called disruptive protests in the city's CBD and the current mass protests being held in Melbourne City, today we're going to look at why protesting is just so important, seeing as protest and action is at the very core of what we look at here at the Climate Action Show. The City of Melbourne has had a very long and significant history of protesting, especially when it comes to environmental demonstrations and protests. To place bans and restrictions to limit disruptiveness, which we will look into how the City of Council is defining this disruptiveness, would overlook the very foundations of freedom of speech and democracy the city's residents have fought for and valued since its very beginning. And still to this day, as we hear a few snippets from protesters from the recent demonstration this last Saturday on the 13th of September, from the Indigenous Sovereignty and Rally Against Racism protest about why they believe protesting is so important. Additionally, I have a few tracks lined up for later by musicians with environmental, social justice and climate change awareness at the forefront of their work, shouting out some great activist artists to support that you may not have heard of before. So don't go anywhere and stay tuned to learn more about the proposal of restrictions or frameworks to limit disruptive protests in Melbourne CBD, the important history of environmental protests within the CBD, Melbourne, Victoria, and just the whole of Australia in general, and interviews with a few protesters from the Indigenous Sovereignty and Rally Against Racism protest on Swanston Street this last Saturday, and finally to hear some tracks from local environmental musicians you may not have heard of before. But before we dive into it all, we have just a few announcements.
Have you heard of long COVID? If you or someone you know have had COVID-19, you may still experience symptoms weeks or months later. There are many symptoms of long COVID, but the most frequent are extreme tiredness, shortness of breath, and muscle aches and joint pains. Anyone can experience long COVID, including children. You can find information in your language on the Health Translations website, healthtranslations.vic.gov.au. Just type long COVID as a keyword.
A 3CR supporter.
The Climate Action Team would like to thank Only Just for their financial support of this program. Only Just sources high quality, fair trade goods and gifts from artisans in over 25 developing countries, showcasing partners that use traditional skills and modern designs to create beautiful goods through ethical and sustainable practices. Discover their unique range, onlyjust.com.au, or visit their Eltham store in the Eltham Village Shopping Centre on Main Road. It's Only Just.
3CR raise funds by donating your containers. Every eligible drink container that you return to a container deposit scheme recycling point earns 10 cents, which can really add up. 3CR is a donation partner for Victoria's Container Deposit Scheme. The scheme allows you to recycle selected aluminium, glass, or plastic containers and donate the funds earned to a not-for-profit organisation of your choice. Help us raise funds for the station. Search for Community Radio and choose 3CR next time you cash in your cans. Go to cdsvic.org.au for more information.
You're listening to the Climate Action Show on the Community Broadcast Network, and you're here with me, Bella, tonight. As of recently, due to the ongoing Free Gaza and pro-Palestinian rallies every Sunday in Melbourne's CBD, the City of Melbourne's councillors have voted in favour for a plan for the Victorian and federal governments to look into the disruption caused by protest in the CBD. Councillors feel that due to ongoing mass protests, the city's businesses are being disrupted due to people feeling deterred from coming into the city and spending money, citing people as feeling unwelcomed or even scared to come to the city. However, having attended the recent Indigenous Sovereignty and Rally Against Racism protest this last Saturday on the 13th of September, and talking to others in attendance, I can wholeheartedly say these protests are nothing if not a display of welcoming, warm and strong community in the CBD. Peaceful demonstrations of strength and togetherness. There were youth, older adults, grandparents, families, young children and friends all showing up, standing together in support of immigrants, our beautiful multicultural society, and to say no to divisive and racist ideologies. Quite the opposite of unwelcoming from my experience. Additionally here, we've got a few announcement boards here at 3CR, and I just noticed as well before coming into the studio, there was one that they're going to be starting a choir to join the Sunday rallies for pro-Palestinian rallies, which I also just think is another show of how beautiful and welcoming these rallies are, in which there's a really community spirit and a real vibe in that there's a sense and strength in people power and being together, and that they're so inviting to everyone in the community. So yeah, I don't know. I guess from my personal experience, I'm not, I don't really quite see the unwelcoming effects. But recently, Dr. Olivia Ball, a member on the Melbourne City Council, spoke on ABC in response to another councillor's, Gladys Liu's strong stance on the disruptive protest in the CBD ruining business. Ball spoke about how it's hard to say whether or not businesses are having a net positive or negative impact due to these protests, as there have been no feasibility studies. However, she does not say, my bad, however, she does say it could be possible these mass protests, who are bringing lots of people into the city, may benefit business owners, as it's likely protesters would be spending money while in the city. She also had a lot to say about where these protests are taking place, usually at the State Library, so quite far away from a lot of the business areas, despite being in front of Melbourne Central. And then she had also posted a snippet of the interview to her Instagram, which I'll add the link in our show's description, which I highly recommend you watch. However, I thought I'd read out the caption of the post, as I think it perfectly encapsulates why looking into restricting disruptive protesting is an issue, or just protesting within the CBD as well. They've been deemed disruptive due to their belief to, you know, disrupt businesses. But I think as a whole, it's just looking to limit mass protests within the city. And I think the framework at the moment is sort of suggesting that they only limit them to parks, which, to be honest, kind of, I think, ruins the whole point of the protests. But anyways, I'll read a bit of this snippet from her caption, just because she's also so much more well-spoken than I am. I think you'll have a better time understanding. But she says, "Peaceful protest is a human right derived from freedom of expression and freedom of assembly. That is, we have a right to get together with others and express our views. Being able to freely express your views publicly is fundamental to democracy. It's one way we make our views known between elections, and it's long been a foundation of positive societal change. Given most protests are about what the government is doing, Governments can't be the arbiter of whether, where, and when people can protest. Protest rights have been steadily eroded in Australia over the past 20 years. Failure to protect protest rights disproportionately impacts people with least access to institutional power who rely on peaceful assembly to have their voice heard. All governments, including Melbourne City Council, have an obligation to respect, protect, and promote the right to protest. On 19th of August, Melbourne City Council amended its draft council plan. Unless the council hears vociferous opposition from the public, it intends to work with other levels of government to develop a framework to limit the disruption caused by mass protests in the city. Council hasn't said how this might work, but the Lord Mayor has suggested protesters could be confined to public parks. Victoria's new Police Chief Commissioner, Mike Bush, has said that VicPol has looked at the idea of permits for protests and concluded it's unworkable. The city is where all my Melburnians come to protest. It's everyone's municipality and all our rights at stake. Call on Melb City Council to abandon its plan to limit peaceful protests in the city. Go to participate.melbourne.vic.gov.au/m2050-vision/phase-2. Scroll down to click on upload a response, type a submission of any length in the box provided, or upload a document, complete some optional questions, and click the submit button at the bottom right. Submissions close Sunday, 21st of September. So I thought this was put really well, just about the whole issues with limiting, if anything, peaceful protest and very community-oriented protests within the CBD. It is a human right, which often I think we can take for granted here in Melbourne, our right to protest. Our ability to, in a way, like, I guess, maybe this isn't the right word for it, but I guess our ability to kind of defame or be able to speak freely about what we think with signage and shouting and in a community environment that is peaceful, I think in a lot of other countries is easily criminalized. And I think that we often take for granted our right here in Australia to protest. And I think if we don't really fight for that and we don't really acknowledge it, then I don't think we really know what we're going to miss until it's gone. I also really loved her point on most protests are directed and aimed at the government. So there's, you know, it doesn't really make sense for the government to be in control of who can protest where and when it's supposed to be directed at them for change. You know, they're really not in control of protests at all. If anything, protests are a way of getting messages to them. I don't think it's like, doesn't really work in the reverse. But it's interesting. So if you want to continue to have your voices heard and protect the right to protest, once again, I'll read out the link you can go to submit a response against restricting protests in the CBD. So that link was participate.melbourne.vic.gov.au/m2050-vision/phase-2. And you could submit a response against restricting protests in the CBD. Something I also thought was very interesting about this situation was Lord Mayor Nicholas Rees of Melbourne CBD, of the Melbourne City Council, when discussing this whole situation. The statements he had put out, public statements he had put out about it, I thought this one was very interesting. He had said, "Everyone is absolutely horrified by what's going on in Israel and Gaza." And then continue to follow that with, "Sadly, nothing happening on the streets of Melbourne is going to change that. But what it is doing is having a real impact on the livelihoods of many of our shopkeepers." I think the right to protest and protesting is so important to seek change in our governments for climate change and environmental policies and legislations. And in this case, to seek our governments to act on what is going on in Gaza right now, the genocide. And I think the fact that he's wildly overlooking what the power of protest can do is quite crazy in this sentence. I mean, and Melbourne has had a very long and significant history of protest. And it's actually been really significant and it's achieved a lot. And that comes with continuous protests, demonstrations, organizations that are formed. I want to say, well, yeah, for many decades. And protest is the foundation to change. So to ignore this and how protests within Melbourne for well over many decades have done this is a huge oversight. We've got some announcements coming up, but stay tuned to hear about this significant history of environmental protests and protests in general within Melbourne and Australia to see why it is so significant. Thanks.
The Common Social Change Library is an online collection of educational resources for those involved in community campaigns and social and labour movements. It collects, curates and distributes key lessons and resources from progressive movements from around Australia and across the globe. The library includes over 1,400 resources covering campaign strategy, community organising, activist history, digital campaigning, justice, equity, diversity and inclusion, and much, much more. It's free to access the library, so check out the collection at www.commonslibrary.org.
Help us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. Throughout September, we're asking you to become a regular donor. By setting up an ongoing automatic monthly donation, you'll help provide a stable foundation for 3CR. If we know we can count on your donation every month, it means we can better plan and resource our broadcasting. Whether it's First Nations justice, workers' rights, climate action, independent music, housing advocacy, or disability activism, your regular support ensures that these movements and struggles have a platform every single week. 3CR is determined to stay independent. This means we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or government funding. We serve our community, not corporate interests. But this also means we do rely on people like you to keep the station running. From paying the bills to maintaining our studios to training the next generation of community broadcasters, 3CR relies on community donations to survive. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.
If you're a renter with problems such as repairs, getting your bond back, negotiating a rent hike, or facing eviction, it helps to know your rights. For free information and advice on renting, you can visit Tenants Victoria at www.tenants.vic.org.au, Arnica Legal at www.anikalegal.com, or contact your nearest community legal centre. The government is planning to demolish and redevelop high-rise public housing towers in Melbourne. If you're living in a public housing tower and need free legal advice about your options, find your nearest community legal centre at www.fclc.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
I'm Bella and you're tuned into the Climate Action Show tonight on the Community Broadcast Network. We've gone over Melbourne City's Council amendment to urge Victorian and federal government to look at placing restrictions on disruptive protests in the city. And we are now going to explore the long and important history of environmental activism within Melbourne and protest within Australia as a whole, just to show why it would not make sense at all to limit peaceful protest within the city, considering the long history they've had there and how significant they've been to creating our diverse and beautiful and warm and community-orientated like society and protests that we have today. I know many listeners may already know about the history of protests in Melbourne, but I thought what better way to highlight just how significant the right to protest is and the act of doing so in Melbourne to fight for environmental protections and laws, reminding us all where parts of this movement started from and why restricting protests in the CBD is not only a huge issue to democracy, but also in a way erasing a large part of history here in Melbourne. The current climate change awareness and environmental protection protests, organisations and movements in Melbourne have all been growing since the 1800s, all starting with the Field Naturalist Club of Victoria, a first-of-its-kind nature conservation society club in the world, forming in 1880. Members actively fought for the preservation of native flora and fauna, as well as scenic rural regions and areas, resulting in the first park reservations in the 1890s. Environmental activism only really took off with the creation of the Australian Conservation Foundation, or the ACF, in 1965, which focused on using strength in people power and togetherness to lobby the government and raise public awareness of various environmental issues. So we're beginning to use protesting to influence political outcomes on government policies and actions, such as the anti-commercial whaling movement that helped bring awareness to the devastating depletion of whales and eventually making commercial whaling illegal, the Save the Reef campaign, successfully campaigning and protesting to protect the Great Barrier Reef from coral mining and to declare it a marine park. And here in Victoria, we had Save Our Bushland Action Committee, who had successfully campaigned to save Little Desert and its native flora and fauna from subdivision and residential living. All of these protests and campaigns, largely taking place between the 1960s and 1970s, this is when we're really starting to see environmental activism within Australia take off, and especially here in Melbourne. And we're also seeing successes from these protests and demonstrations that have resulted in quite significant laws being made. As said before, it's now illegal for commercial whaling, and the Great Barrier Reef, I don't think we could think about it without thinking of it as a marine park and something we actively protect today. So what I do want to talk about, though, is environmental sort of demonstrations and protests that occurred within Melbourne that were really, really significant in sort of influencing environmental legislation and policies, or if not them, but also just bringing awareness to environmental issues. So the first one I wanted to look at was the anti-nuclear and anti-uranium mining protest. They were heavily demonstrated here in Melbourne during, it was around late 60s, 70s, and then well into the 80s as well. So during the late 50s and early 60s, inspired by the international Ban the Bomb movement, many cities in Australia regularly protested Australia's active research of nuclear weapons in South Australia and Western Australia. As time went on, the anti-nuclear movement helped to form the anti-uranium mining movement in conjunction with it, forming a multitude of groups including Campaign Against Nuclear Energy, or CANE, the Movement Against Uranium Mining, or MAUM, the Coalition for Nuclear Free Australia, CNFA, and Uranium Moratorium. In April of 1977, Uranium Moratorium took to the streets of Melbourne, gathering 15,000 protesters and, as a result, collecting over 250,000 names for their petition and encouraging over 50,000 people to protest within August of 1977. As a result, the Australian Labor Party added the moratorium measure to their platform, and then, as a further result, the anti-nuclear movement and the Australian Labor Party began working and supporting one another. So the CNF and the moratorium movements actually helped the Australian Labor Party gain lots of major party seats, taking them from a minor major party to a major party, and secured their seats. However, After securing the Australian Labor Party seats, their no mine policy had been reversed. So because the CNF wasn't actually in any way a part of the Australian Labor Party, they didn't stick with any of it. So instead of having a no mine policy, as they had briefly agreed, they revised it to then have be in support of a three mine policy. So this meant that although they were still keeping open three mines that were being used for uranium, they wouldn't be supporting the opening of further mines. So despite this revised policy, the CNFA and the uranium moratorium were still able to prevent any new mines from opening, especially with the continued protests that only grew in numbers during the 1980s. Mass protest occurring every year in a Palm Sunday march. According to the Commons Social Change Library, there were 100,000 protesters in 1982, and it grew to 350,000 by 1985 for the anti-nuclear movement. These protests and movements have played an essential role in environmental protection through creating a generally stronger stance within our society, I'd like to say, against nuclear weapons and energy, as well as against uranium mining, preventing further radioactive contamination and mill tailings from contaminating natural environments and ecosystems. And although the movement is no longer at the height it once was, the anti-uranium mining movement is still doing work today with organisations like the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance and the Anti-AUKUS movement. I definitely think that's really interesting to see and talk about. I had no idea about this anti-nuclear and anti-uranium mining protest until I had researched it for this show. And I find it quite interesting, the amount of work that was done over the span of, I guess, 3 decades just to try and stop uranium mining here in across Australia. And I find it really interesting that here in Melbourne we had a lot of major protests against it. And I think that still today this sentiment is quite true. The anti-nuclear energy and anti-nuclear weapons sentiment, I think, still remains true to this day. And I think that's really largely can be attributed to the movements that occurred and the protests that occurred in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I know, although in the last election, there was lots of talk about sort of pro-nuclear campaigns. I think with the Liberal Party, they were looking to into, instead of more sustainable, I think, or greener energy, I think their way of looking at it was they thought, let's just create a lot of nuclear energy power plants and that will be the way. But I think seeing they've lost, and I think that was for a multitude of reasons, but I think seeing them lost still shows it stands that the anti-nuclear movement and the anti-uranium mining movement, even though they might not have been as, like, the momentum for those movements might not have been as big as they once were, I think it's because, like, their sentiments really stand within society still today in Australia. So another large environmental movement that I also wanted to focus on, a more recent one, just to show how this is, you know, it's still continuing. We're still seeing big protests, big demonstrations here within Melbourne that are still important, that have been inspired, I'd like to believe, by these past movements. And that one I want to talk about is the school strike for climate protests and demonstrations, which I'm sure don't need any explanation as they were quite recent and massive. But for context, I'm tripping over my words today. I'm so sorry. But for context's sake, I will explain anyways. So School Strike for Climate was an organization and movement that began in 2018 that held school-wide strike days in which children would not attend school to make a point of saying they don't feel that their education would matter in the future because of the fatal effects of climate change, urging governments to act on climate change policies and legislation to acknowledge this issue that was incoming, to say, yeah, like, to say, basically, that they see that this will be affecting the future and that we need to put policies and legislation in place to stop it. So in 2019, the school strike for climate demonstrations were among the largest protest events in all of Australia's history. Well, among Australia's history, I'd like to say. In Melbourne alone, an estimated 100,000 people attended. So, largest public demonstrations in Australia since the marches against the Iraq War in 2003. And even though it's been difficult to regrow the momentum this movement once had prior to COVID lockdowns, the message still stands, and the protests during the 2018 and 2019 no doubt inspired many young protesters and brought awareness to the climate anxiety young people here in Australia and also all around the world are facing. And I just think that's crazy. 100,000 people attended. And it's just another example of one of those peaceful protests here in Melbourne, but there's a real strength in numbers and people coming together. The fact that 100,000 people, mostly made up of young people or people attending school, saying no, like, this isn't okay, this isn't acceptable, we need to act on climate change and our policies, I think that's incredible. And I also just think that goes to show what our right to protest in the city can allow us to do. So this brings us to today, where protests are still currently taking place within the city, as obviously talked about before, continuing the many years of work of raising public awareness for environmental issues and climate change concerns amongst the many other social justice concerns, with so many organized groups. These include like Extinction Rebellion, Mother's Rebellion, Rahu, and just so many more. I could go on listing for ages. And I think it's really incredible to see that this long history of protesting within Australia, but especially within Melbourne and the CBD, has had such a history that it's gone on to still inspire people to continue protesting for, whether it be like the same environmental social justice causes, such as the anti-uranium mining and anti-nuclear movements, or more, I don't want to say newer, but I guess our acknowledgement and the start of protesting for them is a little bit newer. So like the school strike for climate and climate change awareness. So to hear Lord Mayor Nicholas Rees criticize the efforts of protesters on the streets of Melbourne, saying it will not affect anything, historically is just plain not true. And it diminishes the large efforts of protest participants in the city and state for decades who have fought tirelessly to see social and environmental issues brought to justice and treated with the respect and urgent action they deserve. So I think by now you've heard quite a lot from me, maybe enough, about how important protesting is. So this last Saturday, as I had mentioned earlier, I did attend the Indigenous Sovereignty March and Rally Against Racism protest in hopes of getting some insight from participant goers about why protesting is so important to them, or at least why this protest in particular was so important to them. So have a little listen.
Why do you think it's important to protest?
Well, at loss for words, lots of reasons, but primarily, I never would have thought, as a grandparent, I would have to be protecting my grandchildren from Nazis in Australia.
Yeah.
And there's other reasons.
From the time in school I read I Aboriginal, which is what happened in Tasmania,
yeah.
And then the Fringe Dwellers, the injustice of still not recognising Australia as Indigenous land.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity to support the Aboriginal people in being recognised as this is their land. And they're so welcoming.
Well, I've been actually I'm a good person to ask. I've been protesting for 50 years.
Oh, wow.
I'm 79 now. but I have been a Makeda. I brought it to the peace marches in a sling. So I think it's very important for everyone to hear the voices in support of marginalised groups and people.
Yeah.
So there are many of those issues at the moment, like Palestine, Aboriginal.
Yeah.
Yes. Anti-AUKUS, uranium. Well, I was just at ANFA, the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance gathering in Pitchy Ritchie 2 weekends ago.
Yeah.
So all of those, I've been an anti-nuclear protester, Aboriginal supporter, support Palestine. It's very important to protest. It's one way that each of us can show our support for people that are in need of people standing by them, and to make a message to the government.
I mean, if you like the life you live, like if you like having, being an immigrant, having friends who are immigrants, and you want to protect that, it makes sense to protest, to come together for a feeling of community, like in solidarity with First Nations people. Like, if that's important, then I think it's good to stand up for it.
Yeah. And did you ever, like, have a moment, like, during protesting where you realised why it's so important? Or, I don't know, I mean, my mum sort of, I grew up sort of going to demonstrations a bit, so I guess there wasn't a moment where it realised, it was more just how it's brought up.
Yeah,
fair enough. Thank you so much.
What you just heard was a few interviews and snippets from participants at the Indigenous Sovereignty March and Rally Against Racism protest this last Saturday on September 13th. I went around asking a few protesters about why this protest is so important to them, or why protesting in general is so important to them. And I think it had some really, really great insights about why our right to protest within the Melbourne CBD is so important. And I think it really also tied back to that sort of history that we have, the very, very, very long and also very, very significant history of protest within Melbourne. I think talking to that last interviewer saying that she had sort of been brought up within an activist family and brought to protest from when she was young, and then also talking to another woman who featured in the interview, saying that she used to bring her kid with her to the protest in a sling for the peace protest march. I think that's really, really great. And I think that also, it just goes back to showing that long history of protest not only really affects, I guess, government policy and awareness about social justice and environmental issues, but it also raises and brings up people within that community. It's a very, like, long-standing community, I feel, and then people who are brought up in families who have been protesting for years, who have been a part of those movements, are able to continue sort of, I guess, kind of those legacies, I guess, of those protests and those movements. So I think that's really great to see, and I think it really, really just shows why peaceful protests within the Melbourne CBD are so important. It gets stuff done. It's a long, long history, which is so super, super important not to erase and not to overlook. And it really just solidifies our right to freedom of speech and democracy. So because I've decided to focus today on protesting, I thought showcasing a few artists who use their music as, I guess, a form of protest to bring awareness and attention to environmental concerns would be really nice. But just before then, we have a few announcements.
The Commons Social Change Library is an online collection of educational resources for those involved in community campaigns and social and labour movements. It collects, curates, and distributes key lessons and resources from progressive movements from around Australia and across the globe. The library includes over 1,400 resources covering campaign strategy, community organising, activist history, digital campaigning, justice, equity, diversity and inclusion, and much, much more. It's free to access the library, so check out the collection at www.commonslibrary.org.
Hello, my name is Bella and you're listening to the Climate Action Show on the Community Broadcast Network. We've just discussed the possibility of introducing restrictions on disruptive protests here in Melbourne CBD, and also the long history of environmental protests within Melbourne and Victoria, and really Australia as a whole, and their significance in influencing government policies, action and awareness. We're now about to hear from a few environmentally focused musicians. In this first bracket, we have Dave Norman with Nullarbor Dreaming and Small Island Big Song with their track Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology. So stay tuned.
I wonder why I'm still here. I'm Nullarbor Dreaming. Dreams come true if you want them to. We're all heading for somewhere on a road we don't know, just like the plains of the Nullarbor. They're taking us back to our homes. Big city wheels keep on turning. Days go by and I wonder why I'm still here. I'm Nullarbor Dreaming. Dreams come true if you want them to. Fast barren landscape or cover a shot, a place that no one else knows. But deep inside this world holds its treasures, and like the wildlife, just like our dreams, they will blossom and grow. Big city wheels keep on turning. Crowds go by and I wonder why I'm still here. I'm Nullarbor Dreaming. Dreams come true if you want them to. We're heading for somewhere on a road we don't know, just like the plains of the Nullarbor. They're taking us back to our homes. This world holds its treasures, and like the wildlife, just like our dreams, they will blossom and grow. Big city wheels keep on turning. Time goes by, and I wonder why I'm still here. I'm Nullarbor Dreaming. Dreams come true if you want them to.
life is because I don't think they really care.
Whoa, mercy, mercy me. Pas à faire ni plus comme avant. De lui faner dans l'océan, dans nous la mer. Pas de poisson, fin remplir en mer qui. Hey, oh, mercy, mercy me. It's all I'm going long, la, why no gaga lion. Ma feel a fale, jitu gai. Nani wale, nani ade, nani le. Me, whoa, I do a jaa odanan. Nama pavari danga, inia namayata si choyen jaa odai, sacha omai.
Hello, you're with Bella and you're listening to the Climate Action Show on the Community Broadcast Network. We just heard from Dave Norman with Nullarbor Dreaming and Small Island Big Song with the track Mercy, Mercy Me, The Ecology. Nullarbor Dreaming is a really, really interesting track. It's by, once again, Dave Norman. It was the first one we listened to. Dave is an environmental singer-songwriter who actually started performing in 2014, but it has had numerous success with quite a few songs on YouTube. He even received a highly commended award for his song It's Hard to Be a Dingo, which he released in, if I'm correct, yes, 2020, by the 2015 Queensland Music Awards. Oh, it must have been 2014, 2015 he released it. My bad, I must have that wrong. But he did receive the highly commended award for his song. I really like Nullarbor Dreaming. I think that's a really nice, easy country folk track. And it's great to see Indigenous representation as well within this environmental focus track. I think that's really great to hear. The second song we had, forgive me, it was Mercy Mercy Me. Yep, again by Small Island Big Song. Small Island Big Song is a collaboration of Indian and Pacific Ocean artists for environmental and cultural justice. They feature quite a few artists, but that includes Emmeline, who's Creole, and Mauritius. Apologies if I pronounce that wrong. There's Putad, who's Amis and Taiwan. Aralik, who's Papua New Guinean and Australian. Vietient, I'm so sorry, I'm going to pronounce that again, but it was Vietiene, who's Tahitian and French. There was Tariq Sami from Madagascar, Selena Liam from the Marshall Islands, and Sol Jolie from Paiwan and Taiwan. I thought that track was really interesting. I also really liked the mix of the children in it asking about what are we going to do for climate change? I thought that tied really well back into the school strike for climate change conversation we had a bit earlier. And I think, yeah, definitely check out these artists. I know they haven't released music, both of them, for quite some time. I think Small Island Big Song was 2023, at least the last time they've uploaded on the service I'm looking at. And same for Dave Norman. I think it's been about 2 years, but definitely give them a check out. They're great Indigenous artists who have their focus centered around environmental change and protest within their music, which I think is a really cool thing to do. I think art's a great way, and especially music, to protest and have your voices heard. Unfortunately, this marks the end of tonight's Climate Action Show program. I'm Bella, and you've been listening, once again, through the Community Broadcast Network. If you missed the start of the program or want to hear more recent updates on climate-related activism, check out the Climate Action Show on www.3cr.org.au to listen back to this program as well as our other programs. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope tonight's program provided some insightful information, whether it was on the Melbourne City Council looking for support in designing framework to limit and restrict protest in the Melbourne CBD, environmental protest history here in Melbourne and Victoria and Australia, and as well as our environmental social justice musicians, Dave Norman and Small Island Big Song. So sorry, my brain is all over the place tonight. Once again, I'll provide the link in the show's description for the submission form to oppose the protest restrictions, as well as some articles on which I found the information on the history of environmental protests in Melbourne. If you're interested in having a bit more of a read, as well as links to the artists and tracks featured in tonight's programs. Thank you so much to the protesters as well at the Indigenous Sovereignty and Rally Against Racism protest who are willing to speak with me on why they think protesting is so important. Stay tuned for Breadline up next and also for more Climate Action Show next week with Vivian. I'm Bella, and to end the show, we've got People Have the Power by Patti Smith for Rosie. Thank you so much. Hope you all have a good rest of your night.
Yeah.